Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Rich White. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Kevin.
And we're here as we have gotten past this crazy winter wildness.
Yeah, kind of wonderful here, you know?
Yeah, first good taste of that. And we'll be heading into spring-like conditions before the week is out.
Get your suntan lotion.
Yeah,
it's going to be right. Sunny and hot.
Well, you've got a question here that is really a good one to address, I think. So let me just dive right into it. It says, I've been a Christian for many years, but the first time I've started to experience periods of doubt. This is not because I have any evidence that what I believe is not true. I think it's mostly rooted in so many difficult experiences that I've had that have been hard to bear, and just the state of the world today. These periods of doubt don't last very long, but it worries me. I get upset at myself for not having faith when things are difficult. I would appreciate anything you can say about struggles of this kind.
Wow, great question. Be interesting to know how long this person has walked with the Lord.
Yeah.
Been a Christian a long time. it brings me back to a conversation in college that I had with a revered professor who was probably in his late 70s, had been a Christian all his life, Merrill Tenney. And it was just a group of men. And I can say this now because he's long gone. But one of the guys asked, Dr. Tenney, when do you stop dealing with lust? And Dr. Tenney, in his late 70s, early 80s, says, I'll let you know when I get there.
Yeah.
And, you know, what that told me was the battle with sin and all of its ramifications is with us till the end. And so the doubts that we have, this is the normal part of the Christian life. And I don't think we'll ever get out of those periods of doubt. I think this probably is a mature Christian. When the person says that they don't last long, they're not in the wilderness of doubt. Sometimes people are in those places and maybe for years. Mm-hmm. But the kind of in and out. And that's probably an indication, which is for all of us, of this sense of weariness with this world. We have so much evidence, all around us of brokenness and circumstances that are, you know, how do we deal with this? And, you know, Lord, why, you know, I've been asking for this for years, you know, why don't you do something here? And the Lord just seems silent to do anything. So I think this is normal. And the weariness, you know, we're told in Scripture in several places, just with encouragement, it's not that the Lord's shaking a finger at us, but it's an encouragement, you know, not to grow weary in doing good. You know, Galatians 6 talks about not growing weary. It was Galatians 6:9, for in due season we'll reap if we do not faint. So you have verses like that. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks about 15:58, you know, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And so we're given these encouragements in Scripture, but I think we're also given a realistic picture that theologians talk about this. They use the phrase "the already but not yet" of the kingdom of God. So the kingdom is already here. Jesus is already on a throne, but not yet has it been, has his reign been implemented in the earth. The kingdom is here, but not yet in its fullness. We have salvation already, but not yet in its fullness. And we live in the already not yet world. So it is full of brokenness and full of things that seem to go wrong. And you know, the book of Hebrews is a book about not drifting. And it was Christians who were beginning to turn back to Judaism, but they were turning away from Jesus. And you see in some of Paul's letters, the Thessalonians wondering, you know, did the resurrection and did it already happen? You know, Paul's talking, no, Christ is going to return someday. The book of Revelation, one of the words that keeps appearing is endurance. Mm-hmm. And being all the letters speak about, to the seven churches, speaks about conquering, being overcomers. And so it's this battlefield that we're on where we've got to rely on the Lord when things are dark and they seem hopeless and completely broken. I was just thinking about the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, it's a great hall of faith. And you have just seen one victory after another that by faith, you know, this happened. And, you know, this transition verse 33-34, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, who were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. I mean, it's just this, wow, you know, I want to be part of that story. Right. This is what faith does. You know, let me in, put me in, you know. But then it turns, verse 35, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might again rise to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Okay, what about these guys? You know, they somehow second-class, you know, Christians? No. We don't get to pick the times in which we live. God is sovereign over that. And at times, you know, by faith, we're trusting the Lord. He blesses and great things happen. When ministry flourishes, families flourish. Other times we walk by faith in the Lord and we seem to get clobbered every time we turn around. And I think, you know, right now in the world, it feels like that, you know, the good just seems to get trounced. And, you know, evil seems to be so strong and winning the day in so many places. And, you know, I think that's this dynamic that we see in Scripture. We don't understand it. We don't certainly have to like, you know, people getting hurt and all that. Not at all. But in it all, we hold on to our faith in God. And I think moving through these periods of doubt, for me, several things that I, you know, when my soul is discouraged, I go back to the larger picture of Scripture, the big picture that God gives us of who God is. He is sovereign. So I read through those majestic passages of Christ as Lord over all. The book of Revelation continues to be a source of great encouragement to my soul. Especially chapters 4 and 5, where we see God on a throne and Christ ruling over all, opening the scrolls and Lord of history. So I want to fortify my soul with the truth of who really is Lord. But I also need the body of Christ. I am more and more becoming aware of how I need the church. I need my brothers and sisters in Christ to walk through those painful situations. And that is a gift of God, the church, that we're not on our own. And the church needs to be a place where we can express doubt, where somebody can say, I'm having a struggle believing that God is good here. I don't see any good in this. And to let somebody just kind of be there in their rawness, their pain. Mm-hmm. That's what the body of Christ needs to do. We don't beat that person up or, you know, well, I'm going to read you this Bible verse. You believe it, you know. No, we'll get there. We pray for that person. We gently remind And, you know, Jesus is sovereign. We don't understand this. And we'll walk together. Part of the body of Christ, too, is worship. I find when I worship the Lord, again, I get beyond myself, beyond my circumstances, to the one greater than all of us, and who is the sovereign Lord. And worship, again, reframes my soul and enables me to endure in those places of doubt. But I think also, you know, sometimes we, you know, Kevin, we were talking beforehand, you mentioned about Peter and Peter getting to that critical place of, you know, he's so boastful and proud and, you know, out there about, you know, Jesus, I won't deny you, I'll die with you. And then he gets to that place where that's tested and he caves in. And he's full of unbelief and doubt and fear. And he's devastated and goes out and weeps. And what does Jesus do? Jesus not just restores him, but Jesus says, I've chosen you and you're going to lead my church. I think he used the illustration. What was a football player or something fumbling the catch in the big game?
He chokes at the most vital moment, loses the game. And then the coach says, you're my starting player.
Yeah, and why is that? Maybe this is a really good metaphor with the football. I was reading this last week, somebody who said, Jesus is not your fan. Mm-hmm. Jesus is not a fan of you. Mm-hmm. He is your friend. Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference in that, because a fan will boo you when you fail. A fan will boo you when you muff that catch, when you blow the big game, you lose it for the team. A fan will turn on you, but a friend will not. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have in Jesus. And in those periods of doubt, where maybe we do blow it, Jesus is a friend who forgives, who's not going to give up on us, who will continue pursuing us. And he's not going to go up into the grandstands and start booing us. He'll get down on the field in our brokenness, and he will love us, he will forgive us, and he'll work with us. You look at the Old Testament especially, we just went through the life of Abraham, a man filled with a lot of doubts, and, you know, going down to Egypt, you know, the Hagar birth plan, you know, lying about his wife. I mean, just filled with fear and doubt. And God kept pursuing this man because God wasn't a fan of Abraham. He was a friend, and Abraham was God's friend. And but it was 25 years in the developing of this man's faith. And I think sometimes, just take the long view here. God's at work. He's begun a good work, and it's a long-term work in your life and in mine. And those periods of doubt, God knows. And he's patient, and he's a friend who will walk with us through that. So I would encourage us in those places of doubt, you know, get into the scripture, you know, again, build back this high view, this exalted view of Christ, worship him with the body of Christ, and walk with brothers and sisters in the church, expressing your doubts. And just letting, you know, the hurt, the rawness of that, let others shoulder that with you.
And if you are the friend, what would you say to that person if you're the friend who's trying to encourage somebody who's?
Yeah, you know, first of all, you know, it's not our job to fix people. So if somebody comes and expresses doubts, you want to listen. A lot of times, people just need to express stuff. To get it off their chest. And, you know, ours is not a place to rebuke. You know, if they're drifting into sin, we might say, hey, do you see, you know, this is wrong. And, you know, help me walk with you in this. But so many times we feel the burden of having to fix somebody, and we should really shun that. No, listen, love, walk with that person. Here's where you might, you know, give a phone call or say, hey, I was praying for you in my devotions, and you know, I'd love to pray with you at some point. But you know, you go to lunch, you listen to them, you talk through their doubts, you think, reflect back on your own period of doubts, and you know, how did the Lord meet you in these places? And you know, that's sharing life together. Yeah, I think sometimes we're afraid of doubts because, oh no, they're going to abandon Jesus, and you know, so I got to do something to save the day. And you know, we can't save the day. We're not the Savior. Jesus is. But I think so many of the doubts that we have, we need those friends to come alongside, to listen and to love us, to pray with us, to encourage us, and not give up on us. Sometimes it's we want to wash our hands of people who are doubting because it makes us uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you know, just, you know, that's where we need to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be a friend, not a fan here of yours. And I'm going to walk with you through this.
Mm. Those are good words. Will you pray for us?
I will. Our Father, we thank you that we do have a sure faith. We've been given a picture in the scriptures of Jesus high and exalted, Jesus on a throne, Jesus as Lord of history, in the broad and in the narrow, over time and Lord over our time and our day even. And thank you that you have told us that that these are days where we need to endure and not drift. These are days where we need by faith to walk devoted to you, and we're not going to be able to see with the naked eye. But Lord, these precious promises in your word, Lord, enable us to get those as the foundation under us. And may we walk with one another in love and with grace and tenderness. Lord, in those places of doubt, Lord, make us those who can listen and pray and encourage. And Jesus, we give you glory, thanking you that you are our friend and a friend that will never leave us or forsake us. We bless you and pray for people today who are in places of doubt. Lord, would you encourage them, meet them with the sweetness of your presence and the hope of your promises. And Lord, just the love of the body of Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.